Dear colleagues, I'm Christoph Diener, a neurologist from the Department of Neurology at the University of Essen in Germany, and this is my overview of what happened in neurology in 2017. Hopefully I can pronounce all the names of the new treatments and drugs we have. Let me start with epilepsy. There was a study in the New England Journal of Medicine in children and adolescents with treatment refractory epilepsy. And these 116 children were randomized to epilepsy surgery or medical treatment. And at 12 months, 77% of the children which were operated were seizure-free compared to 7% with medical treatment. A second study in the New England Journal of Medicine analyzed histopathological findings in 9,523 patients with epilepsy surgery. In adults, the most frequent diagnosis was hippocampal sclerosis, and in children and adolescents, the most frequent diagnosis was focal cortical dysplasia. In MS, there was a breakthrough in the treatment of primary progressive multiple sclerosis. It's ocrelizumab, a drug which depletes B cells. The definite trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine randomized 732 patients in a 2-to-1 ratio, and they found clearly lower rates of clinical progression and MRI progression in patients treated with ocrelizumab. I think the greatest progress was achieved in spinal muscular atrophy. There was a phase 2 trial, open trial in Lancet, and then the full phase 3 trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine with nusinersen. This is an antisense therapy. And what it showed in the sham control study in 78 children with infantile spinal muscular atrophy, that new treatment leads to a 50% reduction in death or early ventilation. There is a second approach, which is single-dose gene replacement therapy for SMA, where the SMA gene is applied with a viral vector. And this study was done in 15 patients, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it showed an improvement in achieving motor milestones in these children. Another interesting study came from two interesting studies from Parkinson's disease. So one study published in Science indicates that it is obviously possible to influence the production of the synuclein by influencing this gene. This was first done in cell culture, and then the experiment was repeated in animals, and then finally in a population-based study in Sweden. So what the investigators did, they checked more than 1,000 pharmaceutical compounds in cell culture, and then they identified that obviously the beta-2 adrenoceptor is able to modulate the expression of synuclein. And they looked at this in a database from Sweden, and they found that obviously patients who take propranolol for hypertension have an increased risk to develop Parkinson's disease, and patients who receive salbutamol because of asthma have a decreased risk of Parkinson's disease. Now, this has to be verified in a prospective study. The other interesting approach are the results from vagotomy in patients. There are now three studies which showed that patients who underwent 15 to 20 years ago vagotomy for ulcer of the stomach have a decreased risk to develop Parkinson's disease compared to people who did not have vagotomy. And this would indicate that some pathogen agent obviously travels via the vagus nerve into the brain. Now let's move to neuro-oncology. Here we have two interesting studies, the first published in Lancet, and this study showed that in patients with anaplastic glioma with 1p19q non-codeleted have a benefit of adding temozolomide to standard therapy. And the second study investigated whether bevacizumab added to lomustine in patients with progressive glioblastoma have a benefit, which unfortunately was not the case. Now let me move to pain. There was a study in 209 patients with acute or chronic sciatica where pregabalin was compared with placebo and pregabalin was not effective, published in the New England Journal of Medicine. In headache, we have also a totally new class of drugs for the prevention of migraine. These are antibodies against CGRP or the CGRP receptor. Now, all phase 2 trials are published and part of the phase 3 program is published. And what the results show is, number one, these drugs are effective. They are as effective as traditional preventive medication, both in episodic and chronic migraine. But the biggest advantage is that they work very quickly. So within 4 weeks, it is possible to say whether the drug works, and they have a very good side effect profile. Now, the downside will be the high cost of the treatment. Now, finally, let me move to stroke. The DAWN trial was published in the New England Journal, and this trial investigated thrombectomy in a 6 to 24-hour time window in patients who were carefully selected by imaging showing penumbra, and this trial was positive. There was one trial which investigated head positioning in mild strokes, and there was no impact of head position, which is not a surprise because these patients will not develop brain edema. And there was a trial with oxygen in patients with acute stroke, which was negative, which again was no surprise. I think the most important progress in stroke were the three trials were PFO closure in cryptogenic stroke in patients below the age of 60 years was compared to antithrombotic therapy, and PF closure clearly was superior. A very interesting aspect is now that there are a number of studies now indicating that oral anticoagulation in patients with atrial fibrillation might prevent long-term dementia. And finally, we have now two reversal agents for NOACs. One is already approved, idarucizumab, and the other one will shortly be approved, which is andexanet alfa, and both result in a very quick reversal of the activity of both the bigotran and 10A inhibitors. Ladies and gentlemen, 2017 was a great year for neurology, lots of progress. My subjective feeling is that the real two important breakthroughs are the treatment of SMA and the introduction of a totally new class of drugs for the prevention of migraine. I'm Christoph Diener, a neurologist from the University of Essen in Germany. Thank you for listening, and hopefully we can see each other next year on Medscape.